My name is Roy Batt, and I'm reading The Box of Many Colours. This is about a woman who helped those who were really down. The Box of Many Colours. When David told me that he smoked a pipe to keep away the blues, I remembered the Rubenesque woman who came into the wards of the distraught, bearing her wooden box, brimming with cosmetics. She carried it like a shopping basket, gathering onlookers round her who watched silently as she worked a wonderful effect upon a hand held out or on a proffered face. She worked low down from a stool, bringing colour and expression into cheeks and eyes and elegance back into a woman's hand. Little was said. Each quiet leaving was a trail of gladness and of gratitude. I am told she has since died, but that surely is impossible. Giving Voice, which celebrates the remarkable voice of the countertenor Alfred Deller. Giving Voice. That the song die not nor decay in the throat of the singer. It is a little thing, the chord vibrating, the lark's tongue, the stance so bold upon the spray against the world within the universe. I wonder the Elizabethans were so ready in their melancholy, with all their words upon the fingertips, and we dry-mouthed. Alfred Deller went down with his strange gift into his native Kent. Those few nights in the clapboard house so mightily refreshed him. He knew his wife. His sons assured him he was a man, as in that sweet and piping voice, early at the casement, sang with Dowland, Purcell, Handel, joined in their magic. There the full garden acquiescing, rolled back the centuries. Getting Shot at Dawn is about two people, an unknown soldier, and the nurse Edith Cavell, who tried to help him. Getting Shot at Dawn. And a stab ring, surely, that shall not be unto me. Like a grey tin plate, like a trench's bank, like a bush, like a bird, like an emptied field, like a heart wrung out in its chest, in its cage, caved in its cloth, in its clothes, in its blood, in its torn-up furrow, in its march tomorrow, in its field, amazed in its wide, in its small, in its untold falling, yearning, downward, turning, upward, loveless place. Another war poem. It's one I can remember by heart. Crossfire. Not knowing for whom intended or from whence it came, the getting caught in it without apportioned blame. Blank faces seen through the bright tracery, the wounds the same. Take Care of the Poet, which is about the struggles in writing poetry. Take care of the poet, the words will take care of themselves. I do not think I am capable of that sustained order of words constituting poetry. I was told once by a circus manager that, in his experience, elephants never tap dance. I thanked him for his advice and wandered off from his caravan, making my way over guy ropes, round cylinders of calagas. It was an unknown neck of the woods, the stars were out, and it was dusk. I have come on a lot since then, and after an anthology featuring elephants in various fulfilling roles, I arrived at a kind of expression a critic called limpid yet firm. What am I trying to say? What is it that's really troubling me? That I want it both ways? The skills without the discipline, fruit without labour, a stroll round the Pleiades whilst playing in the gutter? And that you would guard my eyes, please, cover my eyes, lest the blazing light become my night. Selected Haiku. 8 poems in the form of a haiku. each Japanese miniature is a separate poem. Selected haiku. Sometimes you cannot recognize from the eulogy someone you know. I find him to be, unlike most, one who is in good touch with himself. Two horses are stood beneath trees. They crop grass whilst their riders converse. Encouraging those who have been played out to ask much less of themselves. We are returning your poems since they lack inscrutability. The white is washed out when a magpie flies, then it lands in livery. An edge will deal with light in a different way to the surfaces. Anchored in harbour, with much to dwell on after those stupendous seas. Cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. Written to honour May Ivamy, married name May Badman, founder of Ver Poets. This is about herself, her home, Chiswell Green Lane, and of course, writing poetry. Cogito ergo sum. I have been here often, each time thinking I may never come again. I am one who begins diffidently with glad, faltering steps, not knowing that I can or should go on. I am the spinning world that takes you to the edge of morning. I am the blackbird with the warning note, echo of a primal danger. I am trick of time, the grown child standing in the space you used to stand. I am lace left strewn by a queen at the edge of the garden. I am verdure going on to yellow into brown. The white ice bladed in the dead of winter. The white ice scrolled upon the breathless windowpane, picturing an empty garden. I am the vixen screaming from her russet jaws. I am the swallow out of Africa, arcing through the sun's rays. I am life standing at your threshold, choked in your heart, following around the winding stair. I am words made perfect in the place you found for them. I am the lane winding through fields, passing by the roses in the boundless garden. I am a village clinging to a city's edge. I am Auburn, white as martyr's blood. I am the hart crossing the ford, quick to lift her head, listening for the shire's silence. I am there, chuckling in runnels. I am the meeting at the bottom of the holy well. Tell them, I am sent you. I am the long avenue of faces down which you walk, piercing memory, going on before you.
Vellum by Simon Cockle. This is a poem about my father. When I arrived, after one more dismal 3-hour drive, you stood at the door and stretched out your hand made of garlic paper skin to clasp mine. I saw, inked in red ballpoint, my first name in the delta between your thumb and forefinger. It was a comfort to know you remembered me, written as I was into the parchment of you. Jupiter and the Moon. This morning, I saw the moon punched into the sky, and Jupiter, subordinate, yet vast beyond reason, by its side. And I felt much as that ancient man must have felt, as the impact of the car crash made birds fly out of his mouth. A moon on my pillow. One day in summer, I reached up through the clouds and carefully took the moon as it was moving. I pulled it to my chest, hiding it so no one would notice, then ran home and hid it under my bed. Later that night, after supper, when it was properly dark, I took the moon out to examine it. The surface felt like pumice stone or sticky bone, cold, but with a promise of warmth. I ran my fingertips over the craters, smooth ravines and jagged valleys. Moon dust caught between my fingerprints like broken chalk, and the tiny mist of its atmosphere drifted across my palms. Seas spread clear and white upon their shores like quicklime. It seemed at once ancient, as infinite as time, then a child waiting to grow up and push away on its own. Feeling guilty, I took the moon and placed it on the pillow next to me, fell deep asleep, and dreamt of cheese and stone ghosts. Next morning, thinking that my dreams were like a warning, I took the moon, wrapped it in a bedsheet, tiptoed down the stairs, gently eased the kitchen door, and stepped outside. I climbed the ladder propped against the washing line and, on tiptoe, put the moon back in orbit. It set off again like a wound-up clock, ticking away in the sky as if nothing had happened. That night, it rose above the woods beyond my house and hovered at my window longer than the moon should. I hid beneath the sheets, hoping it would not part the clouds and come for me. Kingfisher. Deep in the midst of a circular walk, we forded the stream that runs past the meadow. I caught you first. It was luck, as always. Furled on a knuckle of hawthorn, eye bandaged white like a campaign reminder, a kingfisher gathering. You scan your jungle of possibilities, a drill bit bolted to a castellation of feathers, bruised orange and blue, imperial. Nothing escapes you. A cartwheel of wings and you dart left. The river seems to flow backward as you speed through the evening vacuum. The bulrushes bend in your wake, inquisitive. You fall as if speared, but, rising, I see in your rude tapering of bone the spent silver of a dead perch. In seconds we saw it throated whole. You did the same to time and space, telescoped, concertinaed, while we stood on the bank, our hands in our pockets, rooted, as always. Lovelock. A red padlock reflects the sun under a blue sky, fixed to the safety mesh of a four-lane bridge. The Danube moves east below, slow as words, around the bow. An inscription, Wenzel loves Julia, paired hearts, sealed with a hand, romantic and machine precise. Who put it there, him or her? And are they still together, an item in a coffee house somewhere across town? The key may lie concealed in a warm coat pocket or dragging the riverbed. This poem is about ha-has. If you're not sure what a ha-ha is a feature that's found around many stately homes. It's a ditch to keep out animals, but it also looks like a wall. And they were invented by Charles Bridgman. Ha-ha, for Charles Bridgman. I am the original peripheral visionary. You wanted your land to extend to infinity, but your cows and sheep to stay put. So I made you a wall that is a ditch that is a wall. All that remains is to invite your guests while they converse in the parterre to glance a while and pose them this conundrum. How might my livestock remain amongst the trees in idle reflection when they might fancy to join us here in more splendid surroundings? Pause, read their faces as they muse this most vexatious of riddles, then, with the turn of a single wrist in the air, summon them to the boundaries of your property, taking care to position them as close as is within the realms of decency to your magnificent earthwork, so that the drop should come as an astonishment of such magnitude, and thus situated, with a sweep of the arm, proclaim, here might you find the solution, and follow, presently, with a vigorous, ha-ha. You may at this point wish to say my name, and perhaps stress that, in the future, they will look back upon this paradisiac age and wonder at the marvels we created, such as this ditch, which is, at once, a wall.